Okay, it has started. So, okay, good. But I don't understand this while the other is in queue. Okay. Anyhow, you hear my voice? Yes, it's okay. Good. Then let me continue with the lecture. And we are with the lecture on the overview of security standards. So, the last thing we did was to look at this wheel. So, let's look at it in detail. These four parts: plan, do, excuse me, check and act. They are actually much more detailed than the first figure has shown. If you look here at the plan, then you can see they have many parts in it. Basically, it's about establishing the information security management system. That's what the ISMS is. And the procedure is first agreeing on its scope. What are you going to cover? And then you have to think in terms of practice, getting started, and that's what we call the ISMS policy. And to get started and to continue with this, how do you estimate the risk? There are different ways of doing that. And it's a question of convenience in practice, how you choose that. This is things that you will learn in other lectures. But here, yes, we summarize this, that you have to make a choice as to how you are going to assess risk. There is no foolproof method, and it's a question of convenience, how you handle that. It depends also on how ambitious your plan is. Then, once you have defined the approach that you're going to use, you analyze the risk affecting your organization or your enterprise. The next step is to analyze the identified risks and try to estimate their importance, to evaluate them. Then, when you have done that, you have to take your position as to how you are treating the risks. So, what kind of options do you have? And after doing that, then you have to find out how you are going to control these risks. So that is the actual implementation, how you are going to do that. And typically in enterprise, the team doing all of this is subordinate to the top management. So that means, because all this demands resources and it costs, you need to obtain the approval from the management. And typically, in these organizations, this is quite formal. And according to the standards, this requires a statement of applicability. So that is the part that we call the plan in the wheel. Then we have to do, and that's about the implementation and the use of the operation of the information system, information security management system. So, while the first part was just planning, now you have to put it in practice. So, what you have identified as waste needs now to be treated. You have to formulate a plan for doing that, implementing that, establishing the controls to meeting all of this. And in order for this to be effective, you have also to have some way of measuring the effectiveness of the controls. In an enterprise, all of this depends on people. So you need to have them with you. And first of all, you have to raise their consciousness. They have to raise their awareness. They have to be aware that this is necessary and be motivated for that. And then you need to train them. And there's a lot of management of operation and resources and procedures and so on. In particular for the security incidents, no matter how good your plan is, incidents are going to happen and you will have to do something with them. Like resolve the incidents and establish methods for improving your security based on the insights that you get. Then we are in the part that has to do with monitoring and reviewing the information system, a security management system, and that's what we call check in the wheel. For this, you will have some procedures that you can execute. You will have to do reviews as to the effectiveness of the information security management system. You should do that with some regular intervals to make sure that you are capturing the processes. Security is something that changes over time, and you have to make sure that what you are doing is still valid. So that includes measuring the effectiveness of the controls, being aware as to which risks that you leave unchecked. That is so-called residual risk, in making sure that this is acceptable. If it's not, then you will have to change your priorities of handling risk. And you need internal audits, management review, and so on, and to protocol everything. Because you have to report to the senior management. And then in the last part of the wheel, it's about how to maintaining and improving information security management systems. So from all the previous parts, you have now detected that you need to improve some things, and you will have to translate this to corrective and preventive actions, get the approval of the stakeholders, and ensure that you are on the right track. Sorry. Okay, so that gives you an overview of the wheel. Then the reminder of this presentation is not so interesting to lecture. You can skim through it. Let me see if there are things that are important here to be explained. What comes now is actually the structure of the Code of Practice of Security, which is the ISO 27002. So you can see there are a lot of things here to consider. I think most of these things is just go through that and you get an overview. So the first part was about risk, now asset management, human resources security, physical security, all these things. Just go through that, and then you get an idea as to the different parts of the standard. As I said, this is just a landscape that I wanted to show you, so that when we are later dealing with specific problems, then you know a bit in where the landscape that is, if it is access control or risk management or whatever. So all these are the parts of the standard. And that's it. Let's have a look at this. But then to summarize, about the use of the standards. It is not, in reality, a manual. It's more like a framework that you have to tailor and adapt to your business. And in order to do that, the guys dealing with this, they need to have competencies. They have to know a lot about information security. They have to know a lot about information technology. Since they are dealing with people, they have to be able to communicate and deal with people in the right way. And then you have to make this acceptable. You have to get the people to follow this. And for this, you need incentives to motivating. But you have also to use these incentives to make sure that those things that are dangerous are not followed. So you're, on the one hand, you have to take the people with you. On the other hand, you have to deter them from doing dangerous things. What is important is, again, to realize that this is a process, and it is a changing landscape. And therefore, you need all the time to assess the landscape for new risks. If you stick to a risk assessment that you did once in the past, that might become obsolete and very quickly be out, simply will not be acceptable. Because it is changing all the time, that demands from the enterprise that it should be continuously improving the security. And as I said before, the security should be seen as part of quality improvement. And it has been inspired by that. If you compare the standards for information security with the standards for quality process improvement, then there is a lot of commonalities. And now, that you know about these requirements, you have got the landscape of standards and things that should be done, and you have heard that this should be a continuous improvement. One of the challenges is that there have been done studies in different industrial sectors when it comes to implementation of process improvement, quality improvement, and so on. It turns out that it's not easy to be done because there is a very high failure rate. And why there is such a failure rate and the importance for security is something that is quite central for these courses. And you will hear more about that. Why it's difficult to be done and what aspects that need to be addressed in order to succeed. Okay? So, as I said, standards, they are, in this course, just a landscape that we don't need to know in detail, but we need to know that it is there. I took you in a brief tour through the landscape. The literature that is needed for the standards is, first of all, the standards themselves. If there is an organization that by law or some other reasons has to follow very strictly all the standards, then they will have to buy the standards. They are very, very expensive. But most organizations and most enterprises will be sufficiently served by knowing and following the rules of some books that we have. And one of them is this one by Kohler and Watkins. And this is, you find in the library. I asked the library to buy it. And it is possible that we have now a newer version. I bought the, asked for the fourth edition right after the ISO 27000 family was issued. Until the third issue, until the third edition, it described the previous ISO, which was the 7790 something. Okay, I forget all these numbers. So the previous generation of the ISOs. Okay, so that was about the standards. A little bit boring things, but we have to. I mean, they are not boring in practice. When they are using them, that's very interesting. But so to explain about them, it's dry stuff and not particularly very interesting. Questions? Okay. Then let's do some things that engage more. And this is the next lecture. If we go now to the frontal room. So now we are in the introduction to this methodology that is called system dynamics. It's about modeling systems, understanding how they work, and security is a system. A system is something that is composed of several parts. So, as I said to you in the beginning, for each part of the course, I have a description that gives you an overview, and that is this one now, about the methodology. So, as I said here, the course deals with the changes, with the things that happen over time. Temporal aspects is about over time. So, I tell you here, and I am not going to read this for you, I just pointing what it is so that you can read it by yourself. For your interest and your motivation, I describe here what you will gain by mastering security management from the perspective of change. You will learn why it's difficult to implement security and the reasons for that. You will learn that this happens often as a what we call an unintended consequence or unintended side effect of well-meant actions and measures. So we have to learn about how this happens so that we can prevent that. Then the other thing that is very important is to get the awareness that managing security requires continuous improvement and that it should be a process that is integrated within the organization's total quality improvement process. Then you will learn why this is difficult to do, what kind of failures that occur, and in particular you will learn the connection between good security management, learning from incidents, handling incidents, learning from incidents, and achieving a security culture, and this issue of continuously improving. And you can learn how to avoid mistakes and make better decisions. And the methodology that we're using is First, qualitative, without numbers. In particular, using system archetypes. And then we will learn to actually create numerical simulations. And then you get here a description of qualitative and quantitative dynamics and so on. Then I mentioned Vensim, but you have already downloaded that. And then you have a serious historical section as to how system dynamics has been used in practice and so on and so on. So this is just the overview. It's not a lecture, just an overview for you, that you have a little bit of an idea of that. And then we can go to the lecture itself. Again, ask questions when you need that. So this lecture is called Introduction to Causal Loop Diagrams to Model Security. Causal comes from cause. By the way, some people mix causal with causal. Causal comes from cause, something that causes something. And then you have causal, which is not the same. Causal means kind of informal. That's something very different. So you speak, for instance, about causally dressed. That means you come like me, rather than having a jacket and a tie and so. That's formally dressed. But that's different from causal. When we are speaking about causal, we are speaking about the causes of something. And the diagrams that we create, they exemplify the causes and the effect. And why do we speak about loops? Because we will see soon that they tend to form a loop, a closed loop of causes and actions. Okay, so if you want to follow the books that I recommended, then these are the references. But as I told you in the beginning, you don't need the books. It's more, some students, they find this engaging and interesting to follow and to extend the knowledge, and then they decide to invest in books and whatever. And some students take master projects in this year. I have at the moment 3 students who are taking the master thesis with me. And some of them are actually working in practice with this. And if you are very good in modeling, you are actually very well paid, because there are not so many people who are good in making these kind of models. For you, as students, this is more like a perspective, one of the many perspectives that you get during the study, so that you get different kinds of knowledge. Sometimes I've been approached by former students and they say, I am now with mnemonics, we need your help because we have a problem here, we need a model. Then we have worked with them together to create these models. And this has happened several times. So it is part of the knowledge base that you need for the future. Sometimes you will come back to this and use it, or ask for people who are experts here to do this with you. But I hope that some of the things that you learn here help you communicate issues, because it's a lot about communicating. So the first question is, why do we care about models? Because we are speaking about modeling. Well, the reason why we care about models is because whether you are aware of it or not, you are all the time using models. So You don't have, say, the city of Jövik in your head, even if you live here. What you have is a model of the city. It's a representation that is knowledge that you have and that you use. With that knowledge, with the model of the city, you know where you have to go for buying food, or for the restaurants, or where you find the transport if you want to travel, and so on and so on. So the model is not the reality itself, but it is a representation of the reality that you use. What is also important to recognize is that we, all of us, we have mental models. We have in our head some representation of reality that we use. But in addition, we have external models that we can use. So for instance, if you want to find addresses in Jövik, then you could use a map. So that's an external model with a lot of information, more than you have in your head, that you can consult. Or you could use a GPS. That's also provides you a model. It is a dynamic model. You can enter an address, and the GPS will guide you as to how to come to the address. Okay? And so, when you are learning about security, ultimately what you are getting in is models of security. Some of them will become part of your mental model, and others will become accessible when you need them. So, if you want to become better in some issue, then you have to improve your mental models. And that's what we try to do here. So then, we can ask the next question. Because the model that we are using now, or that I will introduce, they are called causal loop diagrams. So why do we care? Well, we care because we are interested about what is going to happen, about the changes, about how to deal with changing risks and so on, how to improve the security. So what we are going to see now is that what happens over time is a result of so-called causal feedback loops. And in order to understand these causal loop diagrams, the causal feedback loops, you need to create causal loop diagrams. This sentence here that you see about identifying the principal feedback loops without distinguishing between the nature of the interconnected variables sounds probably hard to understand at the moment. Let me express it simpler. In causal loop diagrams, we don't go to the depths about the specifics of the issues that are influencing what is happening. We use a high-level description. And that's basically what it says. But we are interested in getting better, more detailed descriptions, and still the causal loop diagrams are good, because they give you the start. They are kind of like a sketch. Using that sketch, you can start doing things and improving your models. But in addition, the causal loop diagrams, they are very good for communicating. So even when you have got a detailed model with a lot of details that you can simulate and ask questions and show, for explanation or communication to an audience, the causal loop diagram is a very good tool. And all the time, as you see, I am emphasizing the importance of the feedback loops. So let's do that in practice. Let's take a case, and we're going to make that together. Suppose that the company has problems with security. If they have problems with security, that means that there is a security gap. And I'm going to illustrate this lecture by doing that in practice. And then afterwards, you will do that as an exercise by yourself. So let me first sketch it for you. So you have an enterprise. This enterprise has some level of security. So we write here security. Later you will do it by yourself. I am just creating a model for you. And we assume that this security is not good enough. We assume it can be measured in some way. Forget as to how it is measured. Just assume that it can be measured. So the management of the enterprise says we need a different level of security. And let's call it desired security. So we have the security as it is now, and we have a level of security that we want to establish that is higher, and that we call desired security. And because the two are not the same, the actual security is lower than the desired security, you have a gap that you have to close. So we put here in between security gap. And then what we know is that security gap depends on the security and on the desired security. Because the security gap is a result that there is a difference between these two, the actual security and the desired security. And the name gap tells you that's something you have to close, that is an unresolved problem. So the fact that the security gap is determined by the desired security and the actual security is expressed in this way. You draw an arrow from here to here, and an arrow from here to here. So this arrow says the security gap is something that depends or is influenced by the desired security and by the security. Okay, and that's what I had here. So the arrows connect the cause with the effect, or the influence with the effect of the influence. So security influences the security gap, so that's why you have this. So you could say this is the cause and this is the effect of that. And similarly, desired security influences the security gap, so you have an arrow this way. And it goes from the cause, or from the origin, from the influence, to the outcome, to the result. Then you notice something more in addition to the arrows. You notice plus and minus signs. What they express is the following. The arrow from desired security to security gap has a plus sign indicating that the changes go in the same direction. So if desired security by some reason is set higher, then the security gap increases also. So if desired security increases because, say, the enterprise says we have to have a higher ambition level, we have to have higher security. So this means the security gap becomes bigger. So that was the plus. It's not an addition, it's not a sum. It is an indication that you have to interpret as effect and cause, cause and effect going in the same direction. So if you have one higher desired security or greater desired security, you have a greater security gap. But if you make desired security smaller, then you make also the security gap smaller. So this and this go in the same direction. When you see such a minus sign, these signs we call them the polarity of the arrow, of the influence. When you see a minus sign, this indicates that the cause and the effect go in opposite direction. So if security in the enterprise increases, if you have a better security, then everything else equal, the security gap decreases, the opposite. And if the security, actual security decreases, becomes worse, everything else equal, the security gap increases. So the minus polarity, the minus sign, the minus polarity indicates that cause and effect change in the opposite direction. How do we do that with benzene? Well, we do that in the following way. Notice that the arrow in this view has a little circle there. If you point at that and right click with the button, right mouse button, then you open a window. And in this window, there are a lot of things, but we are concerned now about the polarity, so that's the only thing we are interested in now, polarity. At the moment it's set to known, nothing is there, that is the default, but here we can select plus or minus. And since we are having a influence in the same direction, we put a plus. Okay, and there you have the plus. By the way, this little circle allows you to drag it, so you can point at this here and do things like this. Okay? And depending on the shape, then you have the direction here. Now, the opposite polarity. Security and security gap move in different directions. If you increase the security, you decrease the security gap. If you decrease the security, you increase the security gap. So we need a minus. Right click here, select the minus. Okay, and then you have it there.
Question.
Yes.
The minus there, is it valid for both ways? If security increases, then the gap
yes.
So the one minus, is
about the
both ways?
Yes, yes, yes. The minus is simply a short way of saying that the influence, the cause, security, and the outcome or the consequence, the security gap, move in opposite directions. So if the first increases, the second decreases, or if the first decreases, the second increases. Whereas the plus says they move in the same direction. So if the desired security increases, the security gap increases. And if desired security decreases, the security gap decreases. And that's logic, because remember the security gap tells you something about the difference between what you have, security, when you want to have the desired security. And that's the logic of that. So as you see, benzene ask you after a while if you want to sketch this, if you want to save this, the sketch, and you should answer yes, then you get a selection here, and I'm going to put it here on my end. Call it something like example or whatever. Okay, how are we with time? Yes, I will finish at 2:15, and then I think we have half an hour break, isn't that so? Yes. Okay. So, back to the slides here. So we have this part here. Now we are dealing with a case. What do you do if you have a security gap? We are here. The existence of a security gap forces you to do something, and there are several things that you could do if you have a security gap. You could opt, for instance, for recognize that this is due to too little awareness and too little knowledge, so you could get the people trained and so on. But in our case, we assume that what we have is a problem that we don't have the technology to deal with security. So let's assume that's the case in this enterprise, and that then the management, the people who can take decisions, decide to invest in security, in technology. So this is described here in the following way. Because we have a security gap, the decision is made to invest in technology. And you see a plus sign. And the reason is the following. If the bigger the security gap is, the more you have to invest. Or the smaller the security gap is, the less you will have to invest. So we have a plus polarity telling that the influence and the outcome, we can also say the cause and the effect, they move in the same direction. And then you do the following. You go to Vensim. You have always to make sure to select what you need. I select this symbol, which is then for choosing variables, and click somewhere here and put technology investment. And then I click on the arrow, click on the first, click on the second, give it some form, and determine the polarity, right click here, plus sign, okay. So we are here. What happens after you invest in technology? Well, if the company is well run, and they have a good security officer, they will understand it is not enough to buy new tools, new firewalls, whatever. So you have to make sure that this plays well with the whole system. You have to integrate it, because otherwise you're just adding things, making the whole thing more complex, and it is not working in the right way over time. So we assume that after investing, you spend some time integrating technology so that it works nicely and seamlessly. So we go to Vensim and select again variable and call it technology integration. And click from this to this. And also this has a positive polarity. The more technology you have acquired, the more you will have to integrate. And the opposite. If you invest less, you need less integration. Okay? So, we describe that this will lead to a performance of the technology with regard to security. And again, the better you have integrated, the better the performance. So, and the less you have integrated, the less the performance. So therefore, a positive polarity. And this is going to influence security in the same direction. The better the technology performance, the better the security is done. And finally, you close a loop in this way. So we put here technology performance.